hear people talking bad about the way we have to live here in this country. Harping on wars we fight and griping about the way things ought to be. And I don't mind them switching sides and standing up for things they believe in. When they're running down my country, man, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting and talking down to me. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing and be a warning. You're running down my country, man. You're walking on the fighting side of me. Just how long the rest of us can count on being free. They love our milk and honey, but they preach about some other way of living. And they're running down my country horse, they're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting in a fought and died to be. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you're running down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me. Yeah, walking on the fighting side of me. Running down the way of life, I'm fighting. If you don't love it, leave it. Let this song I'm singing be a warning. When you run down my country, man, you're walking on the fighting side of me.
Yes, when you're running down my country, you're walking down the fighting side of me. And that's the name of this program here on AltRightTV.com. Also, WhiteResistanceRadio.com as well. Always a perceptive writer, always with good insights, nationalist insights. Is former White House advisor, author of numerous books, Pat Buchanan. And this is his latest column. Can we afford killing the economy to kill the virus? And it's illustrated with a picture of a Las Vegas business establishment called Donut Bar, an old-fashioned neon sign with an arrow pointing to the establishment, and the windows are boarded over with pieces of plywood, and it's captioned, response to the coronavirus pandemic. The closed Donut Bar Las Vegas in the Fremont East Entertainment District is all boarded up. Quote, we cannot let the cure be worse than the problem itself, tweeted the president on Sunday night, adding that after the current 15-day shutdown, quote, we'll make a decision as to which way we want to go. President Trump is said to be privately expressing a deepening concern at the damage the coronavirus shutdown is doing to the U.S. economy and debating whether it can be safely reopened. Though castigated for his remark, as always, an independent thinker always is, Trump has a point. The U.S. is rightly using extreme measures to meet the threat and control the virus that threatens the lives of millions of Americans, with the elderly sick foremost among them. And we need to do so without killing the economy upon which millions of Americans depend. Clearly, America was unprepared for this pandemic, and there will be time enough to assess responsibility for the lack of surgical masks, medical gowns, rubber gloves, respirators, ventilators, and hospital beds. The immediate imperative is to produce those beds and that equipment and get it delivered to doctors, nurses, and hospital staff, the frontline troops in the battle to control the virus. However, during this shutdown, all, quote, non-essential businesses are being closed and their workers sent home to shelter in place and to keep, quote, social distance from friends and neighbors to minimize the risk of spreading this easily transmissible virus. Unfortunately, what is non-essential to some, bars, restaurants, hotels, stores, cruise ships, tourist sites, shops, malls, are places of employment and indispensable sources of income for millions of Americans. Close the businesses where the Americans work and you terminate the paychecks on which they depend to pay the rent and buy the food and medicines they and their families need to shelter and live. And if the salaries and wages on which workers depend are cut off, how are these millions of newly unemployed supposed to live? How do those who follow the instructions of the president and governors to remain in their homes, get their prescriptions filled, and buy the food to feed their families? How long can the shutdown be sustained if the necessities of life for the unemployed and unpaid begin to run out? Is it necessary to create an economic and social crisis to solve the medical crisis? We had to destroy the village in order to save it, was a remark attributed to a U.S. Army officer in the Vietnam War. Must we cripple or destroy the economy to rescue the American nation from the coronavirus of 2020? Then there's the matter of time. Many Americans can survive on what they have on hand for 2 or 4 weeks. Far fewer can survive without income for 2 or 4 months. If we shut down the economy, what will we have when the medical crisis passes, be that in May, June, July, August, or September? With all those non-essential businesses we put to sleep come back to life. The free market system that is the legacy of Hamilton and the Founding Fathers is the world's best design for the distribution of goods and services and ensuring prosperity. And in a population where life expectancy is decades beyond what it was in the early 20th century, there are government programs to provide the necessities of life for those who can no longer access or afford them. But businesses are needed to deliver the goods. And if by government command the American free economy is partly shut down as unessential in this medical crisis, the government should be responsible for imposing the conditions that lead to social order. At some point, the country is going to have to open up the supply chains and take the risks to let the market work to provide food, or people will engage in panic buying, hoarding, and using any means to get what they need for themselves and their families. Reports of folks in this heavily armed nation stocking up on guns and ammunition suggest a widespread apprehension of what may be coming. If the medical crisis is allowed to induce an economic crisis that leads to a social crisis, the American political system or our democratic system may itself be severely tested. Lest we forget, in the greatest crisis in our nation's history, in which the issue was whether the American Union would be severed into two nations, Abraham Lincoln suspended the right of habeas corpus, shut down state legislatures, closed newspapers, jailed journalists, and was prepared to arrest the Chief Justice. And for the dictatorial measures he took and for waging the bloodiest war in U.S. history against fellow Americans, Lincoln is now regarded as our greatest president. Of course, that was it was often called the War of Yankee Aggression, or sometimes the U.S. Civil War. And that's, of course, Patrick Buchanan wrote that. Patrick Buchanan has been an advisor to 3 presidents, a 2-time candidate for the Republican presidential nomination, and the nominee for the Reform Party in 2000. He was also a founding member of the McLaughlin Group, which began on NBC and CNN's Capital Gang and Crossfire. His latest book, The Greatest Comeback, How Richard Nixon Rose from Defeat to Create the New Majority. Rather profound and disturbing thoughts. I'm going to continue to share commentary on the coronavirus I don't pretend to have it all figured out personally. I do think it's important in trying to assess this to follow the Chinese. This pandemic, like so many others, the Spanish flu back in 1918, the coronavirus, the H1N1 or so-called bird flu, and the bubonic plague of the late Middle Ages, all originated from China. This is one of the considerations of globalism. And I'm not saying that everybody who comes from China as a visitor or a businessman or whatever is a plague carrier. Obviously not. That wouldn't be true. But that visitors or travel to China and to Iran, which has also become something of an epicenter, have resulted in bringing the coronavirus to the West. And I'm told, well, one of the things that is very perplexing to those of us that follow this is just what is happening in Italy. Italy is being brutally hit. There have been more deaths in Italy as of yesterday than all the reported deaths in China. Now, I do caution all the reported deaths. The Chinese lie and lie and lie and lie. So the deaths in China may indeed be more. Regardless of the exact magnitude, it's really quite serious. It was pointed out to me that the areas of northern Italy, which are particularly affected, have had a large influx of Chinese. Again, thanks to globalism, people move everywhere. We know in the case of Iran that the person who brought virus was had been recently in Wuhan. The epicenter of the coronavirus. These are all things to keep in mind when people uncritically praise globalism. Oh, how wonderful it is, and the free movement of people and goods and services and so on is certainly a mixed blessing, let's say. Very recently, the main cathedral in Zagreb, Croatia, was damaged by an earthquake. There was an earthquake, which, with all the other things going on, was not widely reported. Anyway, an informant at our meeting tonight, good supporters, told me that the cathedral spires, there are two spires at this cathedral in Zagreb, the capital of Croatia, and they were damaged in the earthquake, and sort of leaning, didn't quite fall down, but were knocked a kilter. And it was pointed out to me that that same cathedral was part of the new religion of Holocaust, which seems to be replacing traditional Christianity, even for people who don't believe in anything. This a year ago, a huge banner was hung from the cathedral, from the spires, apparently, about you guessed it, the Holocaust. What the Holocaust has to do with traditional Christianity, heaven only knows. Some might say, I can't fathom the will of the Almighty, but some people might comment, maybe perhaps that was karma. A deeper force in the universe, maybe trying to remind those who do control the cathedral that perhaps they are straying from true Christianity when they adopt this phony baloney religion of Holocaust. And you know, it is a religion. And the reason I say that, and I don't mean to offend any religious believer, but the reason I say that it's a religion is that it is irrational. Now, again, I say I don't mean this as to be offensive to you know, if someone says, well, I'm very religious. Yes, but religious knowledge is a different type of knowledge from scientific or historical knowledge. Can you prove to me that Jesus is the Lord? And you say, oh, well, yes, I can. It's in the Bible. Well, if I say, well, I don't particularly believe the Bible, or it's just a book, you can't prove it to me. You can't prove it scientifically to me. You can't really, well, you might be able to, through some historical stories, prove that that's what some people believed. Now, I'm not for a moment denigrating the belief that Jesus is Lord, but it is, you know, this is a very important thing in religious discussions, it's a matter of faith. You have to believe. It can't be proven. It's something that you must, faith is another sort of knowledge. Well, and faith has shrines, sacred places, rituals to honor God or to honor the beliefs. Well, that's what the Holocaust is. We've always been told the Holocaust is the most documented event in human history. Well, the stories of the Holocaust have certainly been endlessly repeated, no doubt about that. But the most documented, and you know, the deeper you go into that, the more well, shaky it becomes, which is why in many European countries now today, to some extent or another, to question the so-called Holocaust will send you to jail. It certainly will in Germany. Some of this came up tonight because our speaker at our monthly meeting was Jürgen Neumann, who had been the videographer, chief videographer for Ernst Zundel. And among other things, he had gone to Auschwitz several times with Fred Leuchter. Fred Leuchter was a person who specialized in kind of a rare area of human endeavor, and that was designing execution equipment for U.S. prisons. As I said, kind of a rare occupation. But anyway, it made him uniquely qualified to go and look at the remains of what we were told back in the 80s were the gas chambers in Auschwitz. And he actually went to several other camps. And he did testing of the the areas that were told Zyklon B had been used and so on, and there being gas chambers. And to make a very long and complicated story short, he found that there was no evidence of Zyklon B in any of the masonry of the structures that we were assured had been gas chambers. He also pointed out that the structures where apparently the gassing had occurred were not airtight, and the poison gas, if such was used, would have escaped and gassed
nearby German soldiers. Now, we didn't have any records of that. It would appear that this was just an oft-repeated tale. Much earlier critics, like the book, or long pamphlet, Did 6 Million Really Die?, which Ernst Zundel also distributed, question the numbers. You know, the figure after the war was initially 11 million. Well, that was just preposterously high. Then it was 7, and then it became 6. And around the time of the TV documentary series Holocaust in the 1970s, the figure became 6 million and not a single Jew fewer. So, okay, 6 million. But the people with the greatest access to the detention camps, the work camps, was the Red Cross. And immediately at the end of the war, the Red Cross put out a figure of Jews who died in the camps from all causes, and put it at around 275,000. So there were some people executed, yes. Some died of old age. Some near the end of the war, when everything was falling apart, died of typhus. His illness spread through the camps, and that's, of course, what killed little teenage author Anne Frank, the famous The Diary of Anne Frank. Since the fall of communism, the figures of the dead originally put at 4 million for Auschwitz were reduced to several times to, I believe now, about 1 million. Usually the figure of 70% was used, and 70% of those who died were Jews. So 70% of 4 million would be about 2.8 million. Now, if the number of people who died at Auschwitz was reduced by 75%, wouldn't the true figure of Jews who died be about 700,000, given their math? Well, if that's the case, there's 2.1 million fewer Jews who died in World War II. So wouldn't that be taken off the 6 million? Well, it isn't. And that's why I say you're in an area of faith. You either believe or you don't believe. But the scientific and historical facts just don't add up. Anyway, that seems to be a long way back from the cathedral in Zagreb with the big Holocaust banner there a little over a year ago, and the theater is now being damaged. Perhaps it is perhaps I throw that out a warning from God, or maybe it is karma. Still on the coronavirus, the Parliament of Canada, and rightly so, is needed to pass legislation, especially any legislation that involves spending. Okay, Parliament was suspended by mutual consent about 10 days ago. But Parliament was recalled today, yesterday, Tuesday, to meet in special session, and by mutual agreement, only a limited number of MPs from each party were to come. And they were going to pass emergency legislation, which would empower the government to, first of all, to spend money on new programs, which would relieve some of the suffering caused by unemployment, etc., in this present coronavirus crisis. Well, at the last minute, the Liberals slipped in a dirty. They wanted these powers to be in place until the end of 2021. That would mean 20 months of emergency power. The Trudeau government is a minority government. That is, for legislation to pass, they need the support of at least one of the other larger parties. There are four parties represented. There's the Liberals, the Conservatives, I'm sorry, five, liberals, the conservatives, the New Democratic Party, or the NDP socialists, the Bloc Québécois, the separatists, and three members of the Green Party. To pass legislation, the liberals need the support of any of the other three parties other than the Green. The Greens' three members would not give them enough for a majority. Anyway, what Trudeau essentially wants to do is to short-circuit or annul the last election. That's right. He'll have emergency powers to do whatever he wants for the next 20 months. Well, that gives him the power that he would have if he had a majority government. The power that he would have, though, almost without the opposition's ability to scrutinize. Anyway, some of the oppositions, particularly the conservatives, blocked, and you know we'll Scott pick this story up again. The point, though, I want to make is, and it's a warning that I've been sounding throughout this. I believe that regardless of what the coronavirus is it exactly as we've been told? It's a pandemic. Is it exaggerated by the media? Whatever it is, and you know, how did it originate? I tend to take the view it originated from filthy practices in China, and because of globalism and global travel, the carriers of the pandemic arrived in the West, and it began to spread, as it says, spread in China and Iran. Or if you take the view that the Chinese, of course, are saying it's a CIA virus used to embarrass China and to ruin their economy. I had a Chinese woman tell me this. I don't believe that. I'll tell you why. First of all, it's absolutely well known that it's difficult to control a virus once it gets out there. It's one thing to control it in a lab. It's a different thing to control it out in the general population. And the virus that strikes China, and certainly did considerable damage to their economy, will spread and damage other people's economies. I simply, and of course, will boomerang and come back and hit the perpetrators. I have great trouble believing that was the case. Anyway, but regardless of what is the truth about the coronavirus, the crisis will be used by power-mad people. And I've given some examples in the last couple of shows, some minor, some major. But it will be used as an excuse for bad behavior, bad treatment of customers, of shoddy treatment of totalitarian new rules and regulations that actually don't add up, and so on. And people will supposedly, well, I guess the thinking is that you'll be prepared to accept it because, you know, it's coronavirus. I think we have to have our eyes and ears open and our wits about us and question any restriction on our freedoms, because that's precisely what the anti-freedom opportunists will try to do. And I think they have no better example than the sneaky efforts of the liberal government to give themselves 20 months of, you know, almost dictatorial power. You know why? A coronavirus. Nobody seems to have an absolute handle on how long the crisis will last, but it began to emerge in China in November. It picked up steam in December and January and February, and as of the last week or so, both the deaths and the new infections are falling rapidly in China. In fact, the other day, again, if you believe them, there were no deaths at all from coronavirus. perhaps a better example is South Korea. The virus hit very hard, and we talked about this last night, in early February. You know, that's only a little over a month and a half ago, less a month and a half ago. It progressed quite severely in several areas, killing a number of people. The Koreans very aggressively fought it, and now they seem to have come out of it. My point being that it seems to run its course in a couple of months, let's say. Well, why would the government of Canada want emergency powers for 20? I can see perhaps, 90 days, that's 3 months, with the opportunity to review it at the end of 3 months if it's absolutely necessary. Well, that's another issue.
Here's a great show that was brought to my attention. It's all about, you might guess, a name who was big in the papers just recently, Greta Thunberg. And wouldn't you know it, little Greta, forever the attention whore, may have coronavirus. Here's an excellent commentary.
I mean, what are you going to do at this point, right? The way I say it, or way I've been saying it, is like, if they said Darth Vader has come down with coronavirus, or the Loch Ness Monster, or the Green Giant, people would probably be like, oh no. Of course, you cannot make this S-H-I-T up, Greta Thunberg being the latest to get the COVID virus. What are you going to do? Right, we tried for years and years and years to wake up people to the illusion of the corporate media. And here we are. And the whole thing is playing out. And it is like, it's the most astonishing thing ever. And I want to just say this. I'm going to say this right now. I want to ask this serious question. All right? Now, I have thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of listeners around the world and people that tune into this show regularly. Does anyone know anyone that has this, first and foremost? And is there a way for you to confirm that, if that's the case? If you do, leave a comment below. I want to hear from you. But then, let's compare that to all the celebrities. And we're not just talking, you know, the backup singer for, you know, some 80s rock band or something, right? You know, we're talking AAA celebrities, like the biggest names in the world. The ones that have been plastered everywhere on your Disney media for the past few years. Right? We're talking Harvey Weinstein, Tom Hanks, Sophie Graybar, Greta Thunberg, right? What's his name there? I'm thinking the basketball superstar there, MVP player. Well, there's a whole bunch of the NBA players that get it. And it's just, it's the most astonishing thing. It's the disease that only celebrities get. I'm not saying that's the case, right? I'm going to say this, YouTube community, I'm going to give my opinion, all right? I know my opinions are extremely offensive, but I ask you to allow this humble dude up in Rainbow Unicorn Land to offer his opinion on all the celebs that allegedly have this COVID virus. I do not believe a lick of it. I do not believe any of these people have anything other than, you know, a whole lot of shillery going on. It is out of this world, folks. It is out of this world. And think about the narrative too, when you think about the narrative with Greta and the youth, right? And then they're doing, last night I showed how they're promoting euthanasia and that the elderly people should give up their lives, sacrifice their lives to save Wall Street. Now all the hashtags are, you know, don't save Wall Street, or, you know, don't, you know, all this crap, right? And at the same time, you've had all the youth. You know, like the youth, they've shown all the kids don't care, or the kids are out partying in Daytona Beach and stuff like that during spring break, and they're all, you know, doing the things that kids do at that age. and it's terrible. And then they have the elderly people, especially the extremely diverse people on Rainbow Unicorn Land, for instance, or just everywhere. But say on the Canadian Brainwashing Corporation, publicly funded by Canadian taxpayers, that wants to turn kids into trannies, and they're putting up articles daily saying, "Don't, you know, do it for me." Like self-isolate, they're saying to the youth, you know, they have these elderly people from these Aboriginal communities and stuff, and they're holding up signs, you know, like "Do it for me" kind of thing. Like they're telling the youth to self-isolate to save the elderly, while at the same time they're telling the elderly to off themselves to save the youth. It is out of this world what's going on, folks. It is out of this world. This is and this is just one slice of a huge smorgasbord of just unbelievable chaos that they're unleashing on humanity. I have never seen, I mean, they are hitting us with wave after wave after wave of these types of stories. You don't even have time to react to the latest celebrity that has the Kobe virus before the next one comes through. It is astonishing, folks. It is absolutely astonishing what is happening. And all I can say is, God bless everyone that supports this show, and God bless everyone that is doing the right thing, speaking out against this, trying to wake up people, you know, just doing the best you can to try to reach people with important information, because our rights are being decimated, folks. Decimated. And I haven't covered it. I'll be covering it tonight, so just a words up. I know a lot of you are probably wondering if I'm going to do a live show today. Tonight, after Really Graceful. So Really Graceful's got a video incoming, and it's going to be a doozy for sure. So I'm going to be there helping her in her chat, you know, and I hope all of you can go and check out her if you're not subscribed to her. What's the matter with you? Seriously, get over and sub Really Graceful. But she's going to have a video, and then right after her video premieres, I will go live. And we're gonna talk about a lot of the latest. Holy moly, macaroni! I mean, there are so many things. Huge thanks. Look, we're all in this together. Everyone's doing their part. You know, TMF last night out on the beat in Las Vegas caught them setting up 5G downtown Las Vegas while all the streets are vacant and everybody's told to stay inside. What are they doing? They're setting up 5G. If you're out there and you're risking yourself and you're going out and you're doing things to see what's going on, keep an eye on your community. Keep an eye on what's happening in your own neck of the woods. All of us need to work together to try to get this information out and try to warn people about the destruction of our rights, because that is the worst thing that's happening. The worst thing of all of this is not the virus. No way. It's the destruction of our rights, our constitutional rights, our Bill of Rights. These things are being destroyed. They're being shat on. And they are using this to usher in all the things that they want to usher in, including the medicinal martial law and the forced vaccinations, and aforementioned surveillance and drones and police state and 5G and everything you could shake a stick at, sort of thing. So it is a huge, huge, huge operation. It's a global operation. We have never seen the likes of this before, folks. Never have we seen the likes of this before. And I'll just show you quickly the Greta stuff. It's all over the... It just came out. 33 minutes ago. Greta Thunberg says it's extremely likely she has coronavirus. I mean, it's the Loch Ness Monster saying that she has the Bigfoot disease, right? It's that silly. It is that silly. It's more silly. If they told me the Loch Ness Monster had it, I'd be like, I believe that more than Weinstein and Greta. Yeah, I would, because it's... it's more credible. Anyways, I'm going to try my best. I'm trying my best, folks, to keep spirits up, first and foremost. inject some humor into this and to not succumb to fear. All right. I lost my job because of this. I'm a full-time podcaster now. So it's very, very stressful. And if you can, yeah, you know, please do try to come and support me on Patreon. Huge thanks to all the people that have signed up and everyone that supports me. And my heart goes out to everybody that's struggling at this point in time. And we need to work together. We need to support one another, and we need to, do our best to show everybody what exactly is going on. So I'll be doing my best tonight on the show to get through to everyone, all the latest things that I believe we all need to pay attention. And everybody out there, there's so many people out there that are putting out good information and, you know, finding different things that need to be shown, whether it be predictive programming, whether it be legislation that's being snuck in, 5G and stuff like that, all these different things. And I just want to say you guys are awesome, and much love, all right? And stay tuned. I'll be here tonight. Check Really Graceful tonight, probably around 8 o'clock, if she can get it up on time. And then right after that show, or right after her video premieres, I'll be going live. Much love, folks. Godspeed. God bless. And I'll see you all tonight.
Well, that was a very interesting broadcast. This is Paul Fromm. You're on the fighting side of me. And I'm going to have my music, take my musical break right now and play some good German drinking songs. Perhaps a way to lighten the present crisis. Thank you. Paul Fromm, you're on the fighting side of me. I'm going to sign off tonight, as I always do, with the anthem of the real Canada, the Maple Leaf Forever. This is Paul Fromm, and you're on the fighting side of me here on altrighttv.com and White Resistance Radio. This is Paul Fromm.
In days of yore, from Britain's shore, Wolfe the dauntless hero came and planted firm Britannia's flag on Canada's fair domain. Here may it wave our boast, our pride, and joined in love together, the thistle, shamrock, rose, and twine, the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever. At Queenston Heights and Lundy's Lane, our brave fathers side by side for freedom, homes and loved ones dear, firmly stood and nobly died. And those dear rights which they maintained, we swear to yield them never. Our watchword evermore shall be the maple leaf forever. The maple leaf, our emblem dear, the maple leaf forever. God save our queen and heaven bless the maple leaf forever.